You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Happy Friday. This is Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. It's Lee from Huntsville sitting in for Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studios. Got the local, the state, the national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm excited to be here. Betters, I haven't worked with you before.
I'm excited to have you here. This has been a crazy week with Phil going to Tuscaloosa and... Yeah, it's been great. So why not throw in one last twist for the week and guest host?
This is going to be awesome. And I'll bring a little Alabama zhuzh to the...
I don't know. War Eagle. We'll see how that goes. But from what I understand, you're far more of a pro at this than I am. So
We'll see.
All right.
You're going to need a miracle to keep up with me.
Uh-oh. All right. I'm all ears.
I was hinting at the Millroll miracle, I'm sorry. Or the disaster in the pasture, however you want to say it. I have to rub it in just a little bit, and Phil's not here, so. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Fry-yay, as Phil would say. So excited to be here. Glad to fill in, and I have a triple dipper for today. Let me hit that sound effect there.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
So I've got dinks on the rise. We'll talk more about what dinks means for my first triple dipper. Second is, let's read Alabama. There is a question mark on the end of that. And for a third triple dipper, cacophony of noise.
Cacophony. That's a good word. That's a big word.
I was an English, major until I decided to couldn't make any money or I might have to teach. So I went into business instead, but I still retain some of that.
Well, the text lines are open. So for some of you, please go look up cacophony and text it in to me so I don't have to look it up.
Well, and I want to go ahead and I did prepare a monologue. I like to keep things as Phil does it. He's got a good program, good process. It's a Nick Saban thing, the process. So I like to keep the process.
Yes, I'm fairly sure Phil did not model it off of Nick Saban, but you could do worse. I'll admit, could do worse.
For real. So I have to get as many digs in as I can. Okay, so I love the story A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I go to the production every year for over 20 years at Fantasy Playhouse, and I highly recommend it. It's a quality show. I watched the movie several iterations. I can't say what my favorite Scrooge is, probably Kelsey Grammer. This year, I also watched the movie The Man Who Invented Christmas, which was based on Charles Dickens as he was writing this story, A Christmas Carol. I was surprised that Christmas in 1843 was considered a minor holiday. How could the birth of Jesus be minor? How could such a wonderful, heartfelt season be considered minor? To me, the holiday season is full of fun activities, family time, parades, football, food, and generosity. It's easy to get wrapped up in the season and your own situation or circumstances. You become determined to find the most coveted gifts, and you're just giddy with anticipation of the squeal of a child getting exactly what they wanted. You start Thanksgiving, and it doesn't stop until after New Year's Day. The family gatherings, giving thanks, it melts into Christmas decorations, shopping, work and friends parties, Hallmark movies, and so much more. You can turn around, and it's the beginning of the year. It's my favorite time of year and would be my most major holiday celebrated. I was surprised to discover this wasn't always so. In the early years of Christianity, Easter was the main holiday, which does make sense being when Christ rose and, as a savior for us all, but his birth wasn't celebrated. the church in Rome began formally celebrating Christmas on December 25th in AD 3036, or excuse me, 336, during the reign of Emperor Constantine. As he had made Christianity the effective religion of the empire, some speculated that choosing this date had the potential motive of weakening the established pagan celebration of Saturnalia, which centered around the winter solstice. On Christmas, believers attended church, then celebrated raucously in a drunken Mardi Gras-style atmosphere. The poor would go to the houses of the rich and demand the best food and drink. If the owners failed to comply, their visitors would most likely terrorize them with mischief. Christmas became the time of year when upper class could repay their real or imagined debt to society by entertaining those less fortunate. The traditions continued in many countries and societies in similar ways for over 1,000 years. Fast forward to 19th century, and Charles Dickens and his wife are expecting their fifth child. He had 10, by the way. He's had a string of disappointing books and needs a hit to help support his family. He decides to write a Christmas ghost story after watching his kids sit enraptured by stories told by his Irish housemaid. His publishers were not on board with the idea, and so he parted ways to self-publish his novel. He writes it, has illustrations drawn, and publishes within 6 weeks, a breakneck pace. And it's an incredible success. All 6,000 copies sell out by Christmas Day, and it receives glowing reviews. A little-known fact that is revealed in the movie is that Dickens was going to kill off Tiny Tim, and in the end, Ebenezer would just meet his grave, which just seems depressing. After pleas from his housemaid, friends, and family, he decides to change the story to one of redemption and Christian charity, helping to change the way the English and American view and celebrate Christmas. Ebenezer's famous lines when asked to donate to the poor are there no prisons? Are there no union workhouses? Those are cold and hard-hitting. His response when told many would rather die than go to those places, it embodied some in the English upper crust society when he said if they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. The total lack of caring for humanity is in stark contrast to Jesus' command to love one another. In the end, Scrooge is moved by the visits of the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and makes a radical change in his worldview. He is redeemed in a way, like Christ redeemed us at the cross. I'm so thankful for that Irish maid who pleaded with Dickens to save Tiny Tim and redeem Ebenezer. What would Christmas be today without that ending? Would it be the wonderful time of year that we currently celebrate? Did Dickens realize before his passing that he had single-handedly changed the way Americans and the English view Christian charity? Immediately after his novel was published, giving increased substantially for the poor in England. A mirror of sorts was held up to their faces, and they didn't like what they saw. They decided that, to quote Marley's Ghost, mankind was their business. Have we as an American society become so self-absorbed or busy, for lack of a better word, that we can't see the poverty and need that's at our doorstep? We must make sure we include mankind on our shopping list. Always carry an extra 20 on you for the unexpected blessing of others. Don't forget the charities whose bottom line depend on Christmas giving. And remember that lonely neighbor that may not have family or friends this time of year. Let's make sure that mankind is our business this Christmas. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way. All righty. We will be back in just a moment, and we'll talk about a few things coming up, including some calls in the second hour about our library system and the exciting changes that are happening. Look forward to seeing you guys right back.